You know, really the whole service is a worship, is worship of the Lord, whether it's the praise and worship or the liturgy or, you know, even the message. It's a time of just praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. We have a kind of a special, weird, special, whatever you want to call it, day today. And it's called, it's a holiday in its own right. And it's called the holiday of Shemini Atzeret. Now, you may not know it too well because we don't really talk about it a whole lot. It's not one of the biggies, so to speak, but it is translated as the eighth day. That's what it means when you translate it into English, meaning it's considered somewhat to be part of the holiday of Sukkot, and it's considered somewhat to be part of its own holiday. So it's sort of in between, in the middle, and it's, like I said, it's sort of the last day or the eighth day of Sukkot, but it's sort of its own holiday. It's kind of nebulous. Turn with me to Numbers 29, verse 35. There is scriptural precedent for Shemini Atzeret. It is in the Bible in a few instances, actually. And it's in the Torah in Numbers 29, 35. On the eighth day, Shemini Atzeret, you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no ordinary work. So there we have it in the Torah. And it's the eighth day that officially ends the holiday of Sukkot. But the rabbis say this holiday is kind of its own as well. Shemini means eighth in Hebrew. Atzeret means day of assembly. So eighth day of assembly. Atzeret comes from atzar, the Hebrew word which means to hold back or to keep in, to stop or to tarry. So the idea here with Shemini Atzeret, this eighth day of assembly, is a day that we stop, is a day that we kind of tarry at the end of Sukkot. You know, the whole thing is Sukkot is a joyous holiday. It's a time when we can rejoice in the Lord after some of the intenseness of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And as we enjoy this joyous holiday, and, you know, the rabbis talk about all the joy of Sukkot. I talked about it in my message last week. We kind of want to linger in this holiday a little bit more on the eighth day. We want to just enjoy this time together. It's a time to celebrate our special relationship with God, and it's a time to just linger a little bit more with the Lord in a more intimate way before we go back to our normal lives again. So there are times in our life, like today, like many times, where we need to do this. We need to kind of stop. We need to kind of tarry a little bit, and we need to spend time with the Lord. To do this means to physically stop. And it's really, really hard to do that today. You know, we feel like we're just going. And don't you feel like sometimes you're just going and going and going? And it's almost like somebody has to physically tell you to stop and slow down and to just relax a little bit, to rest a little bit. And we need that. We need that for several reasons. We need it to connect with God, to understand God better, to disconnect ourselves from the world, because we know it's just really intense out there, to prepare ourselves for what lies ahead in this new year that we have. It's a brand new Hebrew calendar year, 5781. It's a new year for us, and it's a good time to stop and say, what is God speaking to us about? What is God saying to us, to me, to you? It's a great time to do it because we're at the end of our Torah cycle. Next Shabbat, we start anew with reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So we start all over again in our Torah cycle. Next Shabbat also, we start all over again with some of the activities that we haven't had for months and months and months. You know, we're starting up our own egg. Got a few claps for that today, right? Everybody loves the food and fellowship. We're starting up with our Torah for today live again. We're starting up with our Shabbat school and our nursery. So we're bringing some of these things back after having been off due to a whole coronavirus for 7 months or so. And we're going to ease back into it safely, carefully. But, you know, we just celebrated Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the new year. So all of these things are starting up for us. And it's a great time right before we get back into the groove to just stop for a minute and to pause and to abide in the Lord for just a little longer. That's what I want to talk today about, spending time with the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. You know, I was thinking about how do we talk about spending time with God, and you know, you look at biblical characters in the Bible and what they went through and their journeys and different things. What better person, what better example to talk about this idea of spending time with God than the big example, Yeshua, our Messiah? So today, we're going to be looking at a few scriptures that Yeshua and his earthly ministry, and how he stopped and spent time with God, and how that's an example, of course, for you and I to stop and to spend time with the Lord. Luke 6:12. In these days, he, Yeshua, went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Now that's really a powerful verse and a powerful statement when we think about the context of that statement and the context of that verse and what was going on at the time. Yeshua had begun his earthly ministry shortly before this time period. This was the time when he was super popular. I mean, the popularity was off the charts. Everybody was buzzing and talking about him throughout Israel and even probably outside of Israel as well. People were coming to him en masse. They wanted healing. They wanted teaching. He was providing all of these things. So this was a major time of Yeshua's ministry. He was extremely busy doing the work of the Father, doing what he was called to do. But he stopped at these times, and he reconnected with the Lord. And that's our first point this morning. Spending time with the Lord connects us with the heart of God. Yeshua was going away for a time, periodically, and we read about it throughout the Gospels. He was going and connecting with God. Many times you and I are going to say, well, that's all nice and good, but life is just too busy. You know, Yeshua didn't live in the time of cell phones, right? And the internet, and everybody wants something, and everybody's always asking me for things. Life is just too busy. I just don't have time to spend with the Lord today. Haven't we said that? Well, Yeshua, even though he didn't have cell phones and the internet, unarguably, he probably had the most important job in the world, right? And this was a short time frame that he had. He didn't have forever to go out there and preach the word of God and tell people about the kingdom of God that was coming. He had a lot of work to do, but even then, he stopped and he went to God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. How do we connect with God? It's wonderful to say, oh, you just need to connect with God. Just go connect with God. But what does that really mean? And how do we practically live that out in our lives? Colossians 4, 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So that's one way we can connect with God. The common misconception, though, of prayer is that it's a time that we download information to God, right? We ask God, I want this. I also would really love this if you could do this. And if you wouldn't mind, please do this too, right? It's like that genie. We want to rub the lamp and get the wishes. But that's not prayer. That's not what God wants us to do about how to connect with him. Oswald Chambers says this about prayer. This is a quote. Prayer is not getting things from God. That is the most initial stage. Prayer is getting into perfect communion with God. I tell him what I know he knows in order that I may get to know it as he does. I'll say that again. Okay. I tell him what I know that he already knows in order that I may get to know it as he does. Now, that's an interesting way to describe it, and I think that's a really accurate way. It's pretty fundamental. When we spend time with God in prayer, when we stop and we pause and we go and connect with God in prayer, we get to understand the heart of God because we get to go directly to the source and not just say, I want this, I want this, I want this, but ask him what he wants for our lives. Ask him what he desires for our lives. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The beginning of the book of Joshua, God says this. He makes this statement to Joshua. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do it, to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So we talked about prayer. Now we're going to talk about another way we can connect with God, through the Word of God. There's many scriptures that talk about the importance of the Word of God and connecting with God in this way. Of course, we read it today, we chanted it today, the Shema and the Ve'ahavta. We read about teaching our children the word. When? When we sit in the house, when we walk along the way, when we retire, when we rise. Basically, all over the place, all the time, we're supposed to have the word of God in our hearts and our minds. We're supposed to be digging in and connecting with God, spending time with God by spending time in the word of God. But we're so busy, we forget to do that, or we don't do that, or we just say, I'll get to it tomorrow, I'll get to it later. When we connect with God in this way, we find out his ways of doing things. But the world will tell you, and the world will tell me, you just need to find your own way in life, right? Haven't you heard that? Just find your own way, go discover yourself. That's what the world will tell you to do in order to connect, right? Go discover yourself. But the truth is, you and I need to go stop discovering ourselves so much and start discovering God. And the way we do that is by reading his word and understanding what he desires and what all this is about. Turn with me to Psalm 119, 105. I'm going to give you a minute because Psalm 119 is the largest, it's like the largest chapter in the Bible, right? So just scroll all the way down to verse 105, although you probably know this scripture. Your word, the Bible, the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The world will tell you, go discover yourself in the world. Go discover the things of the world. There's no lamp and light out there. There's a lot of darkness out there. But the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So praying, reading the word, God wants a relationship with us. In order to have a meaningful relationship with anyone, you have to spend time with them. Think about how shallow your relationships would be in life if you didn't spend any time with each other, with whether it's your spouse or your kids or your friends. If you didn't have any time that you spent with people, you wouldn't get to know them. You wouldn't get to know what they think, what they like, how you can relate to them, how you can talk to them. Well, our relationship with God is the same way. If you don't spend time with him, how do you know what he likes? What he desires, how to have a relationship with him. 1 Chronicles 16:11. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about connecting with God in this way and spending time with God. 1 Chronicles 16:11 tells us to seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Are we actively seeking the presence of the Lord today? Are we actively seeking the presence of the Lord any day? Especially at this time. This is a time. Look, Shemini Atzeret, it's our time to stop and to linger and to tarry a little bit more with the Lord before we go back out into the world. This is our time to stop and seek his presence, because his presence shows us the way to walk. His presence shows us how to live our lives. By his presence, we connect with him. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. We're going to go back to our ultimate example about connecting, spending time with God, which is Yeshua. One of the roles of the Son, Yeshua, the Messiah, is the example. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the role is counselor and kind of leads us to different things. Of course, the role of the Father is one thing. The role of the Son, the role of the Messiah, one of the roles is an example to us. We call ourselves followers of Yeshua. Well, you can't follow somebody until you know what they're doing, and you watch them, and then you follow after them. That's what we have to do. He's our example. Mark 6, 30 and 30, 30 through 32. The apostles returned to Yeshua and told him all that they had done and taught. This is when he sent them out. Verse 31, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, I find these verses very interesting and surprising in the sense that Yeshua had sent out his disciples into the world. He had told them what to do, filled them all up with the knowledge and information and power. They went out and they were doing what? They were performing miracles. They were raising, you know, they were doing all these things. They were telling people about the kingdom of God, all these great things. And they come back to him and they start telling him everything. And what does he say? Come away. It's interesting that he says that instead of, oh, great. Well, let's go, you know, get a town hall together and let's just proclaim all this and let's go back out. No, no. He tells them to come away. Get away from people. Rest. That's point number two this morning. Spending time with God means we have to disconnect from the world. We need to connect with God and disconnect from the world. You got to get away sometimes. You can't be in the world all the time. You'll burn out. As believers, as followers of Yeshua, we need to look for God for answers and not the world. So it is imperative that there are times when we unplug the cord, right? Some of us don't know how to unplug the cord. Unplug the cord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The truth is contained in the Word of God, the truth of how to live. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The desires of this world focus on one word and one word alone, self. The world is always going to try to get you to focus on yourself, get you to focus on other people. And I'm not anti-world, believe me, I'm not anti, you know, we should be hermits and all this stuff. We have to live in the world. But there are times when we have to disconnect from the world to recharge with God. It is important. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. You and I just need to pull away. You know, we get that sometimes when we come to synagogue here. We're pulling away from the world. We're recharging with each other. We're recharging with the Lord. We're connecting with Him in song, with the liturgy, reading the Word together. But we need to do that throughout the week. You need to do that on Wednesday afternoon when you're just tired of things and you're just beaten down by the first few days. You got to step back, disconnect, and recharge. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Messiah, seek the things that are above, where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not things that are on the earth. Now, go down to verse 5, Colossians 3, 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, again, the world is not all evil, and we have to have times where we go out, we make our living, we live in the world, we interact with people, of course, but there are times we need to pull away for our own sanity and to connect with the Lord, to get understanding of what to do. So, everybody is either an extrovert or an introvert. Does everybody know what they are? Think about this for a minute. An extrovert or an introvert? The definition of an introvert is someone who draws strength with being alone. That's basically the watered-down definition. The definition of an extrovert is one who draws strength from being with people. So you see the difference there. Now, for us, the question is not, are you an introvert or an extrovert? For us, the question is, are you of the world or are you of the Lord? If you're of the world, or no, if you're of the world, you draw your strength, you draw your understanding from being in the world. And if you're of the Lord, you draw your strength from the Lord and spending time with Him. So the question for us is, don't worry about if you're an introvert or extrovert. We're all introverts and extroverts here. Are you of the Lord or are you of the world? If you're of the Lord, if we're professing that we're followers of Yeshua, we need to go and draw our strength from being with the Lord, especially at key times in our lives. Amen. Now, turn back to Luke 6. We're going to go back to these scriptures for a minute. We're going to start off with 12 and 13. I read 12 before. But it's important to go back and read the rest of the passage now in the context of Luke chapter 6 to talk about this whole idea of resting, connecting with God, spending time with God. Luke 6, 12 and 13. In these days, he, Yeshua, went to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. We read that. Continue on, verse 13. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Okay, now go down to 17, 18, and 19. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. All who came to him to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. Verse 19, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed them all. What a powerful set of scriptures there. What's interesting is the context. We start off in verse 12 with him going away, connecting with God, disconnecting from the world. Immediately he comes, grabs the apostles, and starts meeting with people and working. And what's amazing about this is the very next few verses, right after this, are what we call the Beatitudes and what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is probably, unarguably, I would probably say, the greatest discourse in the Bible, at least from Yeshua, that is. It's his great discourse in the Bible. It's, of course, Matthew 5 through 7, and then it's talked about here in Luke chapter 6. The Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, it's his brilliant commentary on the Torah and how to live our lives in the Lord. So before Yeshua gives his greatest oratory sermon, he's going and he's connecting with God. He's getting away for a little while, getting the download, so to speak, and then going and giving the multitudes the word of the Lord. And this is really, really important for us, because point number three is, when we spend time with God, he prepares us for what lies ahead. He was preparing Yeshua. The Father and the Son were connecting, spending time together, so that Yeshua could then be filled back up to go and do his earthly ministry. Arguably or unarguably, the greatest discourse, the Sermon on the Mount. Right before that, he spends time with God. We got to get away, because God prepares us for what lies ahead in our lives. He prepares us for the work that he has for us. Now turn to 1 Chronicles 14:10. Now, another example for us is one of Yeshua's ancestors, King David. Now, King David was an amazing and great military leader. We all know this, right? He fought all these battles. You know, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands, is what the Word of God says. David was one of the most successful, if not the most successful, king in Israel's history. You could argue his son Solomon was more successful. That's because David set Solomon up for all that success in the Lord. David had a heart after God. David was successful in all that he did. When he was first anointed king over Israel, after that time, remember when he fled Saul for years and he went to go live with the Philistines, the enemy? Well, when he first gets crowned king over Israel, the Philistines come after him. The Philistines want to go to battle against him. And here's what David did. 1 Chronicles 14:10. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up, and I'll give them into your hand." Now, this is amazing, because David, the greatest military mind of the world at the time, and arguably of all time in a lot of ways, goes to God and asks God what to do. I mean, he knows what to do. Go fight the Philistines, right? But he's going to God first to prepare him for what lies ahead. And there are times in Scripture where David goes to the Lord just like this, and God says, "Don't go up. I'm not going to give them into your hands." And David follows that. So even David had to stop and pause and get the download, so to speak, from God to prepare him for what lies ahead. And you and I have to do that too. If it's good enough for David, if it's good enough for Yeshua, it's good enough for you and me. Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. King David wrote most of the Psalms, right? Some of the Psalms were written by the sons of Korach, which is a whole other story. But King David wrote a lot of our Psalms. One of the Psalms he wrote was Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2. "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." See, he was giving credit to God. He was saying, God has prepared me for what lies ahead. Verse 2, "He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and in him whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me." Many people in the world say, "I'm going to go out and subdue people." You know, all the great military leaders like Alexander the Great and all these people, "Look at me, look how powerful I am." Well, he's gone now. David was smart enough, was wise enough to say, "God's the one that prepares my hands for war. He prepares me for battle, and he is the one that subdues the people under me." It all comes from God. So we've got to get that download from God. We've got to get prepared by getting with God so that we can do the work that he's called us to do, to spend But we have to spend that time with him in order to know what direction to go in. Now, at this point, the question comes up, always comes up, inevitable question. Okay, I heard everything you just said, but how do I hear from God? How do I connect with him? Because I don't hear from God. He doesn't speak to me. Has anybody ever said that? Don't raise your hand. Just in your heart, raise your hand. I don't hear from God. You must hear from God all the time because you're a rabbi. I don't hear from God all the time like you think I hear from God, like you want to hear from God. We're going to talk about that. But how do we hear from God? Let's not set ourselves up for disappointment, because God does speak to us. He'll speak to you all the time, but it may not be the way that you want to hear it. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. You know, I've heard, you've all heard the rumors. There's these people out there, these super followers of Yeshua, where God just speaks to them, right? They get up and they eat breakfast and God's telling them what to do, right? You've all like thought, oh, those people, I'm not like those people. Well, God doesn't always speak to us in thunder and lightning and, you know, just turn it on like you turn on the news and he just speaks to us. God doesn't speak to us like he spoke from Mount Sinai to the children of Israel. When the prophet Elijah, 1 Kings 19:11, when the prophet Elijah was at a really low point in his ministry, he goes off to the desert. He goes away to get with God. And God says this to him, verse 11 and 12. And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. You and I want the strong winds, don't we? We want God to speak to us in the strong winds. You and I want to hear from him in earthquakes, powerful displays of his power. We want to hear from God in the fire of the Lord. We just want him to give us the instructions. You know, good, tell me what to do. Three easy steps, I'll go out and do it. Sure. That's not how God operates. He most of the time, speaks to you and I in the whispers. So if that's how he does it in Scripture, that's the example for you and I today. So let's not get disappointed when the fire and the earthquakes and the winds, we don't get anything from God. Why don't you hear from me? And then we start saying, well, really, is there a God? Or how come God doesn't love me? Don't even go down that path. Because Scripture tells us he speaks to you in a whisper. So if he speaks to us most of the time in the whisper, that's where we need to get with God and listen and find out. Psalm 46, verse 10. How do we handle our situations? How do we do things? You got to get in. You got to listen with God. Psalm 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The problem is you and I don't know how to sit still sometimes. You and I don't know how to relax sometimes. That's why God gives us Shabbat. That's why God gives us this holiday, Shemini Atzeret. That's why God gives us a lot of time to pause. Sometimes you got to force yourself to do it, because the world is always going to be out there clamoring for more from you. Always. It's never going to stop. But you have to consciously pull back. You have to consciously get with the Lord, connecting with God, disconnecting from the world, so that God can prepare you and so that you can hear from God. That's the last point. Spending time with God allows you to hear God. You can't hear God when you're out there and all the shouting is going on of the world. Sometimes you can, but a lot of the time you hear God in the whispers. And the whispers, I mean, you can't even hear the whispers until you get away from all the noise, right? At least for me. I don't know about for you. So I got to get away from the noise at times to listen to hear the whisper of God. And he will explain it to you. He will explain it to you as you pray, as you read the word. Maybe God will put, you know, he's not going to just whisper, you know, your name and tell you stuff. Sometimes he might, but most of the time you're going to be reading the word, you're going to be praying, and then something pops up in your mind, and that's the Lord. Maybe the phone rings and it's someone telling you something that happened to them, and maybe that's the Lord speaking something to you. Maybe you're digging into the Word and you read about a different character and you're kind of going through the same thing. That's the Lord speaking to you. You've got to listen for what the whispers are. God is all around. And you know, the other thing, I'll just give you this really quickly. The other thing I've noticed in my life is when God speaks to me one way, one time, I tend to want it every time that way, right? It doesn't happen like that. He wants to keep you on your toes. So the next time, maybe he'll speak to you a different way. You've got to be sensitive to listen to the whisper. You've got to practice listening to the whisper. And that means we have got to turn back. We've got to linger on, atzer, right? We've got to hold back a little bit at times and listen and spend time with God. We've got to recharge with God. Today is a day, Shemini Atzeret, it's a perfect time where you and I can just abide with the Lord, can just rest with the Lord, can just hold back a little longer before we go back out there. So today, as we close the message, as we close our service, why don't you all close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's just take 1 minute and let's stop and listen to the whisper of the Lord. Maybe you've just been bombarded with noise, whether it's noise from work or family or the TV or the internet or life, whatever it's been. You know, with this coronavirus, we've just been, you know, at home a lot more, but also just a lot of craziness. So let's just stop right now and come before the Lord. Lord God of Israel, we stop. We acknowledge your greatness over this world. We acknowledge your supremacy and your sovereignty over our lives. Lord, we know we haven't been so great about stopping and spending time with you. So Lord, today, even today, allow us to connect with you as we disconnect from the world. Lord, and even when we're speaking to you, even if it's just for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, reading our Bible, praying to you, stopping every day, speak to us, Lord, in those whispers. Reveal yourself to us. Show us, encourage us, guide us, direct us. Reveal the next step, because we're just walking, Lord God, but be that lamp and that light to our path so we don't walk in darkness, so we don't bump into things, Lord God, so we know which way to go. I pray right now, Lord, for everyone here and everyone watching on the live stream, that you would speak, in those whispers, and that we would stop enough to hear you in the whispers today and every day, Lord God. So we commit this year to slowing down. We commit to taking that pause every once in a while. Spend time with you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us. Show us your love. Show us the directions we're supposed to go in our lives. We commit to do that this year for you, Lord God. As we are on the edge of starting up again, Lord, help us to stop and pause and just listen to you today. We thank you, God. We praise you. And we commit our lives and our hearts and our minds to you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand.